Blog Talk Radio.
Sometimes I get a little carried away. This is Ralph Pointer, What's Happening? And tonight is Tuesday, May the 9th, 2017. And you are listening to Ralph Pointer's What's Happening radio blog. And this evening, we have a special alert for you. We want to advise you that we need you to call in for Jan Lahman. There is an urgent request to let him know he's in our hearts and minds. And the number, his prison number is 10372-016, USP, Tucson, T-U-C-S-O-N, Post Office Box 24550, Tucson, Arizona, 85734. Write and call the warden and ask him to end the repression against Jan Lahman. Now, you may ask, who is Jan Lahman? Well, he is an anti-imperialist political prisoner, and he stood with us. He fought with us. And who are we? We are the revolutionaries who said no to oppression in the 60s, in the 70s, in the 80s, in the 90s. And many of our participants tonight will explain who Jan Lahman is. We need you to say that he be released from solitary confinement and that he not be punished for expressing his support for women's rights and for writing a statement mourning the passing of our dear sister Lynn. Please remind the warden that we are here and we support our political prisoners and that we are concerned about his health in solitary confinement. And you would be concerned about his safety if he was moved to another prison. Once again, we will be making announcements throughout this broadcast this evening in solidarity with our European American revolutionary, another warrior who sacrificed white skin privilege to side with us. So without further ado, I'm going to turn the mic over to Brother Ralph Pointer, who's in sunny California this evening, involved in speaking engagements, and Brother Ralph will give us his credo. I apologize for changing the format, but sometimes I really need to hear Sister Nina Simone sing to my soul. Yes. It worries me that I cannot protect our brother Jan Lahman because our people do not know to wake up and support their political prisoners. Brother Ralph Pointer, are you in the
house? Yes, I am. And my credo. The overriding element in every situation or circumstance in a black life is racism. Birth, elementary school, housing, health, food, etc. Black lives have never mattered except during slavery and other circumstances where money is being made by our laborers for others. The modern death penalty, 80% black, moved lynching indoors. The police, as the army of occupation, have taken lynching outside again, and the lynch mob is the racist system, including the courts and the media. And because the lives of our heroes and sheroes who once protected us in our community do not matter to us, the people, our political prisoners are now dying in captivity. They are tortured and isolated. Only armed struggle can recreate our image in our own minds as well as the minds of others. Wake up. Now is the time. And Sister Betty, when you were talking about Brother Jan Lahman, it struck an interesting chord in my mind. Now, Brother Jan Lahman was a member and is a member of the Ahia Seven, an organization first formed in the Boston area, an organization of some ex-Army people and their associates, Kazi Torre, etc. And they were formed to protect the students, the black students at Harvard University, walking on the campus at night. They were often accosted. Now, the interesting thing was that another person we know was at Harvard University, and that's ex-President Obama. But instead of being a part of a movement of liberation, Mr. Obama, President, ex-President Obama, was the most hated black student on campus by the other black students because he was such a right-wing person who expressed attitudes that were right-wing. And so we have two men who were involved in the Harlem campus. One, Jan Lahman, working for liberation, and one, ex-President Obama, who worked against liberation, who supported a right-wing legal organization. And as Sister Betty said, we must do something about that. And I do apologize because when I heard that It was that I wish I knew how it would feel to be free. It's a reminder of the 60s when there were so many artists who sang songs of liberation, and so many artists' careers were hurt by those songs of liberation because record companies punished them, as Jan Lahman is being punished for supporting this struggle. And one of the other things that the Ohio 7 did was that they sent money to the ANC, who was fighting apartheid South African government. Nelson Mandela and the others were in jail, put in jail by the American government. And we still see people who don't understand who and what the American government is and what they do. An oppressive government that oppresses our freedom fighters. And as Sister Betty told you, we are celebrating. We're still celebrating the life of Lynn Stewart, another white anti-imperialist freedom fighter who paid the price for supporting our movement and other movements. How can we not support those who support us? And we talk about it every week. No politician trying to represent our community should ever be elected, should ever be allowed to stay in an elected position unless they support our political prisoners. And we're going to get into strategies about that at a later program. But I will turn the program back to Sister Betty to outline what we would like to talk about this evening. Sister Betty.
I thank you, Brother Ralph. And I envy you being in sunny California this evening. And we congratulate you on your successful speaking engagements. Tonight, we're going to continue, as usual, the anatomy of oppression and the oppression caused by colonialism and imperialism, an anatomy of the capitalist system. And within that context, we are talking tonight about Korea. When we think about Korea, we must remember, first, imperial designs caused the division of Korea. Second, previous American total bombing of Korea, including their dams. And third, we must remember Korea's right to self-defense. Every nation state has the right to self-defense against capitalist imperialism. And so, before we go on with the rest of our panelists this evening, I want to, as usual, recognize our poet in the house, our liberation poet, Brother Matt Turner. Brother Matt, your mic is open.
Okay, thank you. Greetings to all the panelists and Ralph and Sister Betty. This piece is entitled "It Works." Spittle trickling from the side of his mouth, eyes rolling round like pinballs in his sweat-beaded head. They finally found the vein. They repeatedly punctured his pincushion, high fructose, fattened flesh, searching for. Writhing, moaning, jerking, lurching, convulsing, primitively strapped in their updated horizontal death device, dancing an obscene, grotesque Arkansas shuffle, assembly line murder two persons per day, 11 in half a week. Why such rush? They must die before the chemicals expire. Capitalist punishment works.
It's a reminder, Tom.
Okay. Hello, hello.
Hello.
Yes.
There, Betty?
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you, Brother Matt.
That grabbed you.
Turn the mic over to you.
Okay. The interesting thing we're talking about today is the situation in Korea, or the situation in America regarding Korea, and a few facts that we have to have in our minds when we listen to the media. They have the habit, and it's the constant habit, of demonizing the people in whatever country that they want to destroy. And so we go to Korea. And the history of Korea, just a little bit of history of Korea, and we'll go back to 1900 for that. And in the early 1900s, Japan was the imperial power that controlled Korea for their assets. And after World War II, when the United States and the so-called Allied powers won the war, Korea was divided in half. The North Korea that was supported by Russia and South Korea supported by the United States. Now, North Korea, the Koreans in North Korea had to overthrow their leadership and to move forward to unify the country. And the United States supported South Korea, and they supported a divided Korea. And today, Korea is divided. In the South, you have the American Army. I forget how many soldiers are there. Maintaining that division, supposedly, as a block against communism. Well, I don't know that that still rings true or has any ring of truth for people today. But the situation is much like the situation in the divided Vietnam, which was divided for the same reasons. First, the Japanese had conquered them and imposed imperial regulations on them. Then the French conquered them and imposed regulations on them. And then they imposed their own freedom to get rid of the French and the Japanese, and then the Japanese and the French again. The French had it. The Japanese took it. The French took it back along with the Allies, and the Vietnamese took it back from the French. And then we had the North and South Vietnam. The same situation prevailed, and no one ever believed that the Vietnamese and the South Vietnamese yearning for freedom could beat the well-equipped America who had a half a million soldiers there. No one wants another Vietnam. People of Korea want to be free. And in their struggle to become free of the imperialist USA, their country was bombed so totally that there were no targets left. And so the Americans bombed all of the dams to destroy the infrastructure of Korea. Well, I'm sure there are Koreans, or maybe all Koreans, remember who America is, what they did. They remember what America did to Vietnam. They dropped more bombs there than in all World War II combined. They tried to poison the land, Agent Orange. They killed Vietnamese by the millions. They killed Americans by the hundreds of thousands. And I would say that there are still people suffering from the chemicals with birth defects that are still happening in Vietnam. Well, the bad news is they're looking to do it again, this time with Korea, because they don't believe anyone can develop defensive, or they don't want anybody to be able to develop a defense against what they have proven that they will do. We look further to a country like Iran, supposed to be a bad country. They had an elected leader who decided that they wanted a better price for their oil from British Petroleum. We see them every place in America, BP, and people don't know their history. And the CIA overthrew the legally and justly elected leader of Iran to steal their products. Well, the Iranians are angry. They are looking to have a bomb. They are looking to be able to defend themselves. Why? Because it is proven that if America wants their resources, they will destroy you. And people are looking to have a defense against a proven, vicious, imperialist power, United States. So when you hear how bad the people are in Vietnam, how bad the people are in Korea, how bad the people are in Cuba, how bad the people are in Haiti who want to have their independence, how bad the people are in America, and they put us in jail, and Jon Lahm is in jail, and we can't buy that. We can't let them think that we have bought that and allow them to keep our people in jail. Just a few facts about the reality of America. Sister Betty, back to you.
I thank you so much, Brother Ralph. And we will once again remind people that there is a call-in number for Brother Jon Lahm, and we will be providing that later on in the program before the program signs off this evening. And we will also tell you who to address your comments to. Without further ado, we look forward to a Black Panther and a former political prisoner. And I want to take a moment, if the Brother Ralph does not mind and the rest of our panelists do not mind, to explain who some of our political prisoners are. Some of our political prisoners had a life. They could have gone on to be doctors, lawyers, teachers, but they discovered that their community had no future, and they sacrificed their future to demand liberation and freedom in a revolutionary struggle for the rest of us. And the brother that I'm introducing to you now is one of them, Brother Larry Pinckney.
Yeah.
Are you in the house?
I am indeed in the house. Thank you very much, my sister Professor Betty Davis. I also want to, as always, convey my warmest fraternal regards and love to Brother Ralph Poynter, as well as to everyone else on the show tonight, as well as those who are listening, whether you call in or not. All power to the people. I want to say, as I always say, we must free our political prisoners, because if we don't free them, then quite simply, we are not free. It is as simple as that. You don't have to be Albert Einstein to understand that. If we don't free then we are not free. Do you want freedom, or do you want to live or die as a slave? The next thing I want to deal with, I want to mention Brother Jan, and I think it's really important. You know, Sister Betty, you mentioned that Jan is in solitary. We called it in the joint, in the penitentiary, we called it the hole. Well, solitary confinement is in fact a form of torture as described by the United Nations itself. It is a form of torture. I know personally of the many years I spent in prison, I would say at least half of those years I was in solitary. It is torture, nothing less. We must support Jan. We must support Brother Jan just as we supported Sister Lynn Stewart, just as we love and remember Brother John Brown. This struggle is a struggle for all of us, black, white, brown, red, and yellow. And we'd better wake up to the reality and stop being pimped by the Democratic Party in particular. Stop being pimped. Stop being, you know, we've got this other person out there called Bernie Sanders who's really just pimping. He wants personal power, personal control. That's what he's about. And I know that might offend some people, but so be it. The truth is the truth. And the fact is that, you know, we've got our political prisoners who've been suffering and are suffering and have been suffering for many decades. We talk about Nelson Mandela. Well, come on now. We have political prisoners in this country who've been in prison years longer even than Mandela. Okay? It's time for us to be human. Stand up and stop this insanity. We really need to do that. The other thing I want to touch on very briefly is I had a dear friend who just got back from Cuba. He spent something like a week and a half there. And he was just amazed at how strong the Cuban people continue to be. The Cubans have an expression, which I often refer to, that says, our grapes might be sour, but at least they're ours. We need to take that up. Our grapes might be sour, but at least they're ours. And this is what self-determination is all about. It's all about ours, collectively, we the people, all power to the people, as we said in the original Black Panther Party. The next thing I want to deal with very quickly, because I know there are other people who need to get on, is I want to talk a little bit about, as Brother Ralph pointed out, Korea. I really loved hearing your analysis, Brother Ralph. The fact of the matter is I thought it was excellent when you talked about especially the comparison between Korea and Vietnam. Korea is today's Vietnam, all right? The fact of the matter is the U.S. never signed an armistice, a peace agreement with Korea. That's because they wanted to continue the emaciation, the destruction, the defamation, if you will, of the Korean people, and particularly North Korea. Whether one agrees or disagrees with the leadership of North Korea is actually irrelevant. We have to look historically, as Howard Zinn would say, we can end France Fanon. We cannot be ahistorical. We must understand the parallels today in the 21st century of what is going on. So I think it is imperative that all of us understand that nations have a right to sovereignty and self-defense. I repeat, nations have a right to sovereignty and self-defense. So this is and should be and must be the right of the Korean people. And quite frankly, Korea needs to be united. There should be no North and South Korea, just like there shouldn't have been a North and South Vietnam. Think about it. Pay attention to history. My God, can't we pay attention to history, as Nina Simone would say, my God. And, you know, I remember Nina saying that, and we need to pay attention, because if we don't, we lose everything, including our own critical thinking ability and indeed our own humanity and sanity. So, having said all of that, I want to encourage everyone to remember our political prisoners in this country, U.S. political prisoners, whether we're talking about Brother Yan, whether we're talking about Mumia, whether we're talking about Seth, whether we're talking, I mean, the list, it's an endless list, as Gil Scott Heron would say, that won't be missed. We got to get rid of that list and get our political prisoners out. Free them! Laksima Tushinde Mbila Shaka! Free them! Because in so doing, we free ourselves. I'm going to end right here. I want to leave plenty of time for everybody else. Thank you so much. Sister Lynn, I know your spirit is out there, sister. All power to the people. All power to the people. Thank you so much.
Brother Ralph, your mic is open.
Yeah, thank you so much for that, Larry. And it is very important that we do understand the history of the right of self-determination. And imperial powers have been running that same game year in and year out over the years. And a lot of people have problems with my saying, my credo, that we must create a better image for ourselves. And we, when we do not create a better image for ourselves, we allow others to create an image for us. And our image, the image of people in America, people of color, is that they're not going to fight back. So who would join us? I don't want to join a loser. And we have shown that when our people go to jail, we have 50 other issues other than our people in jail. When our major issue is our jail population due to lack of education and the lack of jobs, and more than that, due to an oppressive government that gets in the way of our advancement. They say, pull yourself up by your bootstraps, and this government cuts our bootstraps off and takes off our boots. I'd like to give an example. One example that has affected everyone of color in America is the loan situation, trying to get a loan to buy a home. There are government programs such as the GI Bill that allows people of color to exercise their benefits from going to war on behalf of America. The government itself is in the way of where people of color can spend their money to buy homes. And so not only do we have a situation where our communities are in disarray, we have a situation where, and I hate to use these words, our government constantly creates the situation where we are destitute, working actively to keep us that way. And when, through all of the problems and the struggles and the racism we have, we do manage to get a home, we do manage to get land, Then the government comes in, and when it is destroyed, for example, in the housing debacle, this isn't the first. The government does not help us, but the government helps to keep us down. This last housing problem we had, the black community lost more money than at any other time in the history of people of color in America. But this is not the first time it happened. Back in the early 70s, it happened. Who was punished? Black people who had moved forward a little bit to get a home. Then the homes were defaulted on by any reason of their own, by any fault of their own, but because the banks and the brokers and the governments were in collusion to sell prices, houses at a higher value to black people than what they were worth. And when people went to get loans to fix up their houses, they were told that their houses had no value. The houses that they had spent the money that the government had said did have value. And so it goes on and on and on. But one of the things somebody was mentioning to me the other day was that whatever you think of Elijah Muhammad, his method, his very simple and basic method of help self was very real. Help self in, and this, these are my words, in every arena. Help self. Defend our political prisoners who defended us. Defend our political prisoners who gave us courage by showing their own courage. And if we can't do that, in my discussions with some of my comrades, I say, maybe we don't deserve any better. If we don't believe we deserve better, then why should anyone else? And so we are in a situation where it is late in the game, where someone who writes a letter of support to our dying sisters who supported us, they are punished. If we allow that to happen, then my question is, who and what are we? We have to pick it up. We have to go to defense of those brothers and sisters who defended us. And we have to go to the defense of people today. Activists today are being arrested and put into these death camps. We must do better. And I realize I've been going on, and so I'm going to take a break and turn it back to Sister Betty. Sister Betty, you're at the control.
Thank you, Brother Ralph. I appreciate your turning the mic over. We want to acknowledge that Brother Joel is politically involved this evening and will not be able to join us, but that Sister Ann is in the house of New York City, Jericho, and Brother Tariq, a former political prisoner and Black Panther Party member, is also in the house, and we will definitely have time for them. And before the broadcast is over this evening, we need to announce that Brother Nat Turner has an engagement that's coming up, and we want the New York audience to know about it. Once again, we want to acknowledge that if Sister Lynn were here tonight, she would be supporting Brother Jan Lahman. And I want to, just if I may, ask permission of my mentors, and I consider everybody on the call tonight my mentors. I'd just like to talk about Ali Masri. Ali Masri said that the Europeans are decivilizing Africa. And what do we mean when we say decivilizing? You know, it means that you are dehumanizing us. We had a culture. We had a belief system. And part of our belief system is that if somebody came to to your door, you did not treat them necessarily as an enemy, and that our concept of family is based on those who support us. You support those who support you. So I supported Sister Lynn, and I call her sister. And in doing that, I recognized that there were some members of my so-called blood familial family that looked upon me as the darker sister and therefore looked upon me as less than. And the whole point of revolution, as Che Guevara said, is that it is about love. And so if somebody's willing to sacrifice their life for me and to go into a prison system with these barbarians in charge of you is to sacrifice life. So therefore, I call Jan Lahman brother, and I want to make that clear to all my African-American and Caribbean-American continental African sisters and brothers why we are concerned about Brother Jan Lahman. And so without further ado, I want to turn the mic over to Sister Ann Lamb, who is the head of the New York City Jericho Movement to Free Political Prisoners, especially armed combatants in New York City. And I want to ask Brother Tariq, who's back with us. We missed you last week. Brother-in-law Tariq, to hang in there with us. All right, Sister Ann, your mic is open.
Well, thank you so much, Sister Betty. And I agree with what you said about family, and that's why I call you Sister Betty. I was just going to say also about Jan, my friend Jan Lahman, and the Ohio Seven, among other things. They were doing a series of bombings of things like Union Carbide, protesting apartheid in South Africa, and also protesting brutal dictatorships in El Salvador, Guatemala, Honduras, and Chile, in addition also being against racist genocide and oppression of Black, Puerto Rican, Mexican, Asian, and Native American peoples here. So Jan was totally in active solidarity with oppressed peoples, and he has been paying the price ever since, as we well know. And I just wanted to say that we should definitely call the warden, so I'm going to give you the warden's number. it's up on jerichony.org. Anybody can go there. It's right on the first page. So all the information is there, the same information that we were saying before. Jan's there, so you can write to Jan. Very important that people in solitary get lots of letters. It's a big help. It also shows the prison that people are paying attention. So the warden's number, we don't have his name, but we can just call him the warden. His phone is 520-663-5000. That's 520-663-5000. And his fax is 520-663-5024. And you can also contact the regional director of the BOP, and you can contact Mr. Kane, the director of the Federal Bureau of Prisons. So all of that is up on jerichony.org. I encourage everybody to please go and do that. It's a small action that we can take. It can certainly help. And that would be a great thing that we could do for Jan and, you know, for ourselves as well. So, you know, if we don't free our political prisoners, we are not freeing ourselves. The other thing that I heard today, I'm sorry to say, we got bad news about Seth's parole appeal. His Article 78 parole appeal was denied. So I do have that, but I won't read it, but I will be putting it up on Jericho as well. It's a 10-page decision by this judge who basically said, oh, everything the parole board did was fine, which is ridiculous. So this is good because I'm going to Albany tomorrow on the issue of parole, the May 10th, mobilization to Albany to talk about parole reform, the Safe Parole Reform Act, constant denials of parole. So when I got this news this morning, I said, oh, good, now I'll be ready because I am furious. So this will help. I mean, here's Seth. You know, they finally starting to give him this insulin pump monitor thing. He's had all kinds of medical problems since 2000 that we've been, you know, waging campaigns for poor Seth. He's 68 years old. You know, he now has nerve damage in his legs because of the diabetes. He's having physical therapy for that. I would like to know what kind of crime they think this poor man could possibly commit. All he wants to do is, like, go home and put his hands in the earth and plant some vegetables. Now, what is wrong with that, right? So that's the bad news about Seth, but we will, of course, be continuing to fight for Seth. I know that there are more plans in the works, so we will continue to do whatever we can for Seth and for everybody else, you know, of all our, as you said, Sister Betty, our armed combatants, because they are our armed combatants, and that is what they're in prison for, you know, and they are not being treated according to international standards of prisoners of war by any, you know, stretch of the imagination. So
here, right?
You know, I mean, there are international standards. There are treaties which the United States has signed and ignores, you know, about the treatment of prisoners of war. And they are prisoners of war, even though this country doesn't recognize that. And this war is still going on. This is the same war that, you know, people have been fighting since the inception of this horrible imperialist beast. This is the same war that people were fighting when they were brought over in chains from Africa. It's the same war that Native people were fighting when they were being slaughtered and destroyed by these, you know, white manifest destiny folk. You know, God told us we could have all this. You know, well, that's not the God I know. But anyway, that's, you know, I could go
right
on about that.
Right
but,
on.
Yeah. We do have to, you know, make noise about Seth. So as I say, since I'm going up tomorrow, I have pictures of Seth, Jaleel, Herman, and David Gilbert. They all say Clemency Four, the two top. So I have a little group of them so that more than one person can carry these signs. And I know that there will be people there who will love to be carrying these signs because I see them every year. So they'll be doing that, and we're supposedly going to be lobbying. I don't know. I'm so enraged right now, I might not be able to lobby any of these bastards. But I'll certainly be outside in the demo and the march and all that. And if we see Governor Cuomo anywhere, we'll grab him too, because also tomorrow is the Twitter storm for Jaleel. Every 2 weeks, we do a Twitter storm to the governor for Jaleel. Jaleel has requested, in addition, while his other stuff is pending, his parole appeal and his appeal of this, you know, ridiculous charges that they slapped him with, for people to tweet the governor. And, you know, I personally am not a tweeting person, so I don't necessarily tweet the governor, but I write to the governor every time. Every 2 weeks I sit down and I write a letter, slightly different letter, and I say, look, you know, the man has done 46 years in prison for a crime that he most probably did not commit, A, if you want to look at it as a crime, and if he did commit it, B, he was a righteous person to do so. So why don't you just let him go home, right? He's not asking to go to the parole board. He's been to the parole board 9 times and been turned down 9 times. You know, nature of the crime, it's never going to change, and that is the PBA, the FOP, the COPBA, and, you know, when they then say, oh, there's significant community opposition to your release for all of these gentlemen, and you're like, excuse me, the police and the cops are not the community, and they should not have the right to lobby the parole board at any time. The judge in this Article 78 decision says that they do have the right to do that. So I'm a little perplexed by that legal reasoning. But anyway, you know, we'll be busy, and I'm getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning to get on these buses, leaving at 6 a.m. from way downtown. But it should be good, and we have people coming from all over the state on this issue, because this doesn't just affect our political prisoners. This affects so many prisoners who are elder prisoners now who have been turned down for parole. I've met women who've told me, you know, on buses and vans, my husband just got turned down for the 12th time. You know, these are all the so-called Class A1 felons, somebody who has a one-time violent offense, least likely to recidivate, least likely to ever get released.
And
so,
the least likely to get support from our non-violent resistant community.
Yeah, you
and
got that
I
right.
Must say, I must say that
thank
we
you.
Were conned, continually conned, because if you go to the nation's capital, every block you see a soldier, as I call it, a white man on a horse,
yep.
commemorating some victory. And all of history is written regarding to wins or losses in battle. And I can't imagine how it came into people's minds that nonviolent resistance is taking the high road. For all of my life, I've known nonviolent resistance as no resistance at all. I see it as a major weapon. And as Steve Beakey told us, the most important or most potent weapon of an oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. And I see that when people say, oh, they can't support a hero, courageous person who stood up with fire against fire, they can't support that. I will use a Lynnism, the words of our recently departed Lynn Stewart. And these words are, I quote, "These are the greater warriors among us whose actions allowed for space for we lesser warriors to operate to fight for justice. The greater warriors among us allowed we lesser warriors to operate their actions. And so we would have gone nowhere, zero, backward, without these greater warriors. And we must recognize them as such. And those that we have among us today must be protected and brought home." I remember the feeling of seeing Lynn or being with Lynn coming home. All of the families of our political prisoners must enjoy that same feeling. Yeah. And we go along and we call ourselves Democrats or liberals or whatever, and we forget that the Democrats are hand and glove with the Fraternal Order of Police. Mm-hmm. And if anyone wants to say, oh, that's not true, I remind them that right next to our city in New York is the city of Newark, New Jersey, the largest city in Jersey. And we have the little town of East Orange and the Fraternal Order, which is 100% Democrat. The neighborhoods are black in East Orange, but yet the Fraternal Order of Police can call these Democrats and have one of our finest teachers removed for even speaking of one of our political prisoners.
Absolutely.
So what's that tell you? How do they do? How are they able to do that? Because they're in the same party, because they are hand in glove in the destruction, in the destruction of our community. And yet we run out there, and the number of people who ran out and supported Hillary, the number of people who supported Mr. Obama, ex-President Obama, is just astounding. And he, Mr. Obama, and I've been, it's hard for me to stay on track when I think of all the things that were done. When he was asked, Mr. Obama, who was a congressperson, when he went to the Black Caucus to say he wanted their support, one of the congressmen asked Mr. Obama why he was absent from any support of any of the civil rights struggles, and his answer was he did not want to be tainted by the civil rights movement. The civil rights movement, all these people wanted to do was to vote. Fannie Lou Hamer, we can name them all. But Mr. Obama said he didn't want to be tainted by that movement, yet he wanted the benefit of that movement.
Yep.
But as Fannie Lou Hamer said so eloquently many years ago, we, the people of color, were ready for freedom, but the black loyalist Democrats were not.
We're not.
And as Glenn Ford calls them, the misleadership class. But we, the people, have to wake up. Jan, Lynn, Ray, all of our brothers and sisters, and I could make a list that would last longer than this program. We must do better, folks. And we are going to work to do better. I see I have gone too far. You should have cut me off, Sister Betty. Betty, introduce the next.
What we're saying is good.
Thank you so much for that, Anne.
Kevin, speak. Are you in the house? And
Brother Tyreek is Brother Tyreek is here.
Brother Tyreek, give me 1 minute. Brother Turner, do you want to announce your next venue?
Oh, I can't even think straight. okay, we're going to be at the Lantern Hall on Saturday the 14th of May at 7 p.m. as part of the Workers Unite Film Festival.
Where is that again, please, brother?
It's the Lantern Hall in Brooklyn, and I don't have the address before me, but...
And if they Google it, it'll come up. Is that correct?
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Brother Nat Turner. I want to remind you that Brother Nat Turner is our spirit of Lynn Stewart speaking to us from her ancestral... Brother Tyreek, we are waiting for you.
All right. Peace, Sister Betty. Peace, Brother Ralph. And peace to the spirit of Sister Lynn Stewart. Peace to Ann, and travel safe when you visit the prisoners. And peace to the other contributors and to the listeners of what's happening. I'm Tyreek. I'm a Black Panther. I'm a former Black Liberation Army prisoner of war. I spent 17 years in various American concentration camps. Tonight, I want to talk about Trump's foil, F-O-I-L, North Korea, Trump's foil. President Donald Trump, through almost daily tweet postings and news sound bites, keep the American public up to speed regarding North Korea's weapons development behavior. The president's behavior vis-a-vis North Korea is very reminiscent of the old cowboy movies wherein the aboriginals, Indians, seemingly attacked a wagon train for no reason. In both instances, the viewing public is ignorant of what preceded the actions. President Trump's tweets, in effect, sounds the trumpet every time the North Koreans fire off a rocket. At this point, it is very probable President Trump has convinced the viewing public North Koreans are thoroughly geopolitical bad boys. The green light given the president the go-ahead to continue his tweets is the Trump advisors knowing the American public is a benighted lot. Largely under 30, the greater portion of the American public was not alive at the close of World War II. They did not witness the surrender of the Japanese, their departure, and the occupation of Korea by the United States. The youthful American public did not witness the effect on the part of the effort on the part of the North Koreans to reunite their land by expelling the United States, which began in 1950, which is known as the Korean War. The youthful American public did not witness these going-ons, nor did they trouble themselves to read history books covering these historic events. Undoubtedly, many youthful Americans think the Korean government, headed by Kim Jong-un, are being wayward bad people in their dealings with the Trump administration. The present Trump-Korean situation is reminiscent of the response of American youth who used to consume the cowboy Indian movies. The children used to think the Indians were bad people for attacking the occupants of the Westwood wagon trains. Time after time, the children arrived at the wrong conclusion while watching those cowboy Indian movies. Those children arrived at those wrong conclusions because the movie makers deliberately omitted to mention that the Westwood travelers were in the process of taking land from the aboriginals, the Indians. The Trump administration is guilty of the same practice of omitting vital information. The Trump administration do not include in their tweets mention of the fact that since 1945, the United States has been occupying half of the Korean territory. The Trump administration also failed to mention in their tweets that they repeatedly keep communicating to the North Koreans that they are in line for a regime change. One of the reasons why the Americans dropped the mother of all bombs in Afghanistan 2 weeks ago was to communicate to North Korea that the U.S. are ready to take their land. The North Koreans have rightly responded by readying themselves to repel American invaders by developing their weapons capability. It is the job of revolutionaries to enlighten the unenlightened. Additionally, it is the job of revolutionaries to be on the side struggling for the triumph of love and peace. Power to the Korean people, power to the people, free all prisoners of war. Thank you for allowing me to speak.
Thank you.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. Good evening, my brothers and sisters. As I say, I learned, I hope you learned. Listen again, I hope you're inspired by those of us who are trying to create a better world. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Brother Ralph, too. Call it.
Peace, y'all.
I wish I knew how it would feel to be free. I wish I could break all the chains holding me. I wish I could say all the things that I should say. Say I'm loud, say I'm clear, for the whole round. I wish I could share all the love that's in my heart.